welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I've entitled, Remember Me. Those are the words of Jesus, and what we began yesterday, just giving an introduction, was the significance and the importance of the Lord's Supper, what we call Holy Communion. And it was an institution which the Lord, the last night of His life on earth, at the Last Supper, He instituted. And He said, remember me as you do this. I shared that scripture from 1 Corinthians on yesterday's broadcast. But what's the importance, what's the significance of it? And the first thing we can say about it, in its simplest form, it's an enactment of the gospel message. It's the gospel in a nutshell, if you will. God in Christ has come to man. He was born of a virgin, right? We have been redeemed by the sacrificial death of Jesus, our substitute. He was sinless and only a perfect sacrifice, as illustrated by the Old Testament animals that were sacrificed. They had to be perfect, no blemish on them. And so Jesus preached it, and the Bible describes it. But the sacrament of Holy Communion dramatizes it. It makes it come to life. We're creatures of flesh and blood, and so it is something we can relate to, even in a physical way, as we partake of it. Calvin, following Augustine, called it, speaking of the Lord's Supper, the Word made visible, or the Word made flesh, if you will. And that was John's description of Jesus coming to earth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And so, first of all, it's a simple enactment of the gospel message. And secondly, it is the sign of a true disciple. I'd like to take a moment and turn to John, the 6th chapter, and reading verse 26. Jesus had, the multitude had found Him on the other side of the sea, and they asked Him, how did you get here? And of course, Jesus, after He had performed that miracle of the fishes and loaves, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. He knew their motives. He knew why they were there. And so, sometimes, as you read the gospel, you see Jesus purposed, on purpose, deliberately, in a very loving way, sought to offend all those who had impure motives. And of course, since He was preaching the kingdom of God, of spiritual things, it would also offend the carnal thinking of the natural man. What He said was incredibly repugnant to the Jewish mentality. Jesus went beyond logic. He went beyond mental and intellectual capability. And what did He do? He spoke to the spirit of man. So often did you notice, as you've read the Gospels, He would say, he that has ears to hear. Well, obviously, anyone, unless they were deaf, they would hear His words. But He was talking about he that has spiritual ears, spiritual understanding, hear. And so only His true disciples, only those who had a revelation from the Father, were not offended. They may not have understood, certainly like even his closest disciples didn't, much of what he was saying, but they didn't turn away. Peter said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what was Jesus' response to that? Well, in Matthew 16:17, he said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And so those that really received in their hearts, and when someone truly understands, and it's not an intellectual thing, many things perhaps about the gospel can be intellectually offensive. Even the very words that Jesus spoke were offensive to the Jewish mentality and to, you know, the intellectual today. But until the heart is prepared, until you are willing to turn aside from your own logic, your own comprehension, as I've shared time and again on the broadcast, that was my first prayer. I said, "God, if you're real, make yourself real to me," because I was confused. I couldn't be certain. For after 10 years, I was really being exposed to Christianity, and I was convinced that was not the truth. However, I was willing to, in my confusion and in my darkness, I was willing to say, "God, please help me. I want to know the truth." That was one of my life's goals. And so God honored that. And so so what's the significance? It's very simply, the Holy Communion is an enactment of the gospel message, and it's a sign of a true disciple. Those that are willing to have ears to hear and be willing to do the things that Jesus commanded, not only in terms of remembering him in the Holy Communion, but in terms of the things that he has commanded us that are recorded in the Word of God. And then also, it is an enactment of our faith. You know, the Word tells us that faith without works is dead. And obviously, James is very strong on that. It's a very crucial part of our spiritual life. So why communion? Why should we celebrate communion? Well, it's as essential to our spiritual life as food and drink are to our natural life. Now, it's true, individuals can go for a length of time without eating, not for much more than 3 days, unless you're supernaturally sustained, as Moses was on the Mount. You can't go without water. But people have gone extended periods of time without natural food, so it's possible to fast. But eventually, if a person will not eat and doesn't have the opportunity to eat, they will die. They will starve to death. The body starts actually feeding on itself to support life. But a time will come when that person will just die. And so this comparison to the natural realm, Jesus used this so frequently in his parables. Don't you notice that as he was speaking to them in parables? In fact, he said, "So hearing they would not understand, and seeing they wouldn't really catch a glimpse of what he was saying." And so he used comparison to the natural realm with elements, with things, substances we could readily understand, the audience of his day, as even today. You know, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who's lost a coin. You know, she looks thoroughly, and when she rejoices, she finds it. She rejoices and asks her friends to come and rejoice with her because she found that. And so remember Jesus' very first temptation after his 40-day fast in the wilderness. Satan came to him, it said. And his first temptation was, it says, Jesus was an hungered. He was naturally hungry after that period of time. Obviously, he would have had some water in the wilderness. But he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, today there's much awareness and consciousness about natural health. You know, you are what you eat. And this is a dynamic of nutrition. And so it's important as we come to the communion table, we understand that we are making a voluntary statement or a demonstration that we want Christ to dwell in our heart. Of course, we've obviously received him into our heart or spirit with salvation, but it's an outward act, just as baptism is. It's very significant, allowing yourself to be baptized. You go into the water, into death, and out of the water into new life in Christ Jesus. And so we want Jesus to dwell in our hearts, and by faith, and we literally act it out by taking natural elements, bread and the fruit of the vine, into our physical bodies by eating, thereby indicating we want Christ to enter. And as far as the communion is concerned, both elements are needed, the bread and the cup. Well, I see my time is drawing somewhat close to an end. We're just going to stop here, and we will continue right up here on tomorrow's broadcast. But I wanted to share a few testimonies because I always invite people to write. Well, this is a letter come in very recently from a sister writing from Sunnyvale. And she said, "Dear Sister Judith, I wanted to thank you again for your ministry and send you a small love gift. I will always be grateful for your prayers for my son-in-law who got off drugs and is a great husband now to my daughter and a wonderful father to my two grandboys. They go to church regularly and he is involved in the men's ministry. Praise God." And she says, "Thank you, Sister Judith, for your ministry. Love you." Oh, and she makes a comment. "You said that you would pray God would turn him loose." That was in my letter. "Would turn him every way but loose." That was in my letter back to her. And he did, the Lord. So a wonderful answer to prayer. Well, that's only one testimony. I've got stacks of testimonies, but maybe we'll share a few more on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And there is power in agreeing prayer, just as, and this was some lengthy time ago, but she's still so appreciative of what God has done. So many families are torn apart because of those that aren't saved, children and spouses, and God wants to reunite and restore all those, the years, the palmerworm and the caterpillar and the cankerworm hath eaten. Invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.